Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot, so why waste time doing it?
And where I would go, wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home! He's done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close.
Shane Lowry is the Open champion.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Fairway Finders. It's episode number 53. I am joined by Steve. Unfortunately, Donica couldn't join us this week, but Steve is back from his little sabbatical he had last week. Steve, how are we doing?
Doing very well, bro. Feeling refreshed, clear in the head, ready to go pick some winners this week and leading up to the PGA Championship next week as well. Pity the whole band isn't back together, but look, we'll have to make do with the two of us today.
Exactly. First of all, must have been very nice to get out of the city and stuff. I know, I think we've all been fairly busy now the last few weeks. So how was it? Did you go up and play a bit of golf?
I did. Bit of golf in Wooden Sticks, Ontario. About an hour outside the city. Very, very nice trip. Didn't play the best. The weather wasn't too good either. Mm-hmm. Rain both days, so it wasn't ideal. But then had a nice little relaxing breakaway to a cottage for 3-4 days.
Nice.
Leading up to the weekend. So yeah, and I'll tell you, feeling relaxed and feeling refreshed, as good as you can, brew.
Nice. As good as you can. Nice. Yeah. So I guess to recap quickly, last week we had the Wells Fargo. We had the British Masters. Myself and Donnie talked a bit about the whole Tiger thing. Get him to the chopper, I believe was the funniest quote from last week.
Had a good chat about periods as well, which I found interesting.
Wouldn't be my
specialist subject now.
I don't think it's anywhere else, but look, we had to use that anyway. Start off the podcast by apologizing for how bad my picks were last week. They were trash, and to be honest, I know hindsight's a great thing, but like I always say when I'm looking at my picks, like go and see what previous winners are, and if they're a good price, maybe they're like worth a back. And I remember looking at Max Homa and I was like, he hasn't really been on it this much this year. It just shows golf, it can all click for you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened for Max.
Yeah, it was good to see him win again. And I tell you, like, I don't know what it is with me and Max Homa, but I just have this block in my head that he can only win on the West Coast, even though it's just not true. I just have it in my head that he needs like nice sunny
nice Cali weather. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then he goes out in the worst weather possible and gets a job done. Really impressively, he got the job done as well, because he could easily have collapsed. There was double bogeys, triple bogeys out there, which a lot of them found. So really, really impressive. Keegan Bradley was on his back. Sunday actually turned out to be pretty exciting. There was a lot of swinging back and forth between Homa having a 3-shot lead back to one shot. You had Rory making a bit of a charge.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick, who I think I was surprised he didn't get closer than the couple of shots he missed by, just being a guy from the north of England, and you think conditions would suit him perfectly. He's that sort of scrappy tee to green, good putter, good short game player. Mm-hmm. So he surprised me a little bit. I think he is getting very close to getting his PGA Tour win.
Yeah.
He has all the qualities that you need. But I do think it'll be in an event like that, maybe a Honda Classic or some sort of a 10 under and below type of golf tournament. I don't see him going out and winning a 20-25 under event. But I think, just from, did you see much of Sunday at all?
No, so I was following it a bit. To be honest, shout out to Brian Kirshner. I was actually following a lot of it through him.
Oh yeah.
Just because his updates were actually really, really good. Like, he was taking a lot of pictures and videos and posting like great shot and stuff. And I was following a lot of the Twitter trackers, because I was actually out and about on Sunday, so I wasn't in front of a TV or anything. But I remember I heard you said you put a bit of a bet on Rory and on early on the Sunday, and yeah, geez, Rory really managed to like break through and get up there. Like, I didn't think he'd come anywhere close, but fair play. And then I think it's great to see Homa winning again. you know, as you said, Matty Fitz did well. Cam Young again got another place. So yeah, I mean, overall, look, Max Homa is, I think, one of those characters that he's a good character for golf. He's not your typical golfer. He's quite, you know, vocal, quite kind of frat boy-y. But you know, I like him, so glad to see him winning.
Yeah, he's a very cool demeanor on the guy. So I think that the hole that the event got won on was 11, if I can remember correctly, par three. Keegan hit his approach shot from the tee to about 5 feet, I think, and Homa missed his long and left. So it was two shots in it at the time. And Homa chips it to 6.5 feet, and he ends up making the par putt. Keegan goes next, the classic, say it a lot of the time, the classic match play situation. You make your putt, the hole just shrinks for the opponent, and he ends up rolling the 5.5 footer by. And instead of potentially, Homa was three clear at the time. So the situation, you're thinking Max is going to drop one, Keegan's going to make one, so it's going to be a one-shot lead. And then just the momentum completely swings back in Homa's favor, and he's three up with 5-6 to play. And I think that was probably the nail in the coffin for Keegan Bradley.
Great
to see Max winning again. I think he's now got up to that elite level of player, and I think he's up to 29th in the world after that win as well. So we're going to see a lot more of Max Homa. McIlroy, that you mentioned, I got a bet on him Saturday at 50-1 each way, but I thought it was top five they paid out, but it was only top four. Missed by one shot.
That's gutting. Okay.
What can you do? But yeah, no, it was good to see him back. Like, he played very, very well, considering it's a course that doesn't really set up that well for him. There's two par fives. It's a tighter, tighter, more accuracy-based course, which doesn't really suit his game very well. He needs plenty of par fives where he usually takes advantage of. So good to see McIlroy back in form, though. He's trending in the right direction with the PGA next week. He's also committed to come up to Canada in June as well. So he's going to be the defending champion because there was no event last year. So he's basically defending his crown. Scotty Scheffler and a bunch of others are confirmed as well. So yeah, no, overall a good week. I think Donnie was closest of us to getting a winner, with he had Matty Fitz backed each way. And look, no winners, but we move on. And we also had Europe as well, the DP World Tour.
Yeah, we had the British Masters.
Masters. Some surprising missed cuts there, I think, was the one thing I didn't see much of this, I have to be honest.
I had Moronk and I had Dedry backed, and they did absolutely nothing. I think Moronk missed the cut. Dedry, I think, just made it, or other way around. But either way, they came absolutely nowhere near the top 20 anyway. So, Torbjørn Olsen ended up winning it, I think, 10 under.
So I said, I didn't see much of it, but I was kind of tracking bits and pieces of it. So you had pretty interesting one, actually. So you had Sebastian Soderberg. He was sitting in the clubhouse at 9 under par, and you had Ramsey and Olsen. So Torbjørn Olsen and Richie Ramsey sitting at 9 under as well. So you had a three-way tie for the lead, and it looked as though Soderberg wasn't going to have enough because there was two par fives still to play coming down the last couple of holes. And it just shows you how fucked up and how crazy the world of golf betting is, because Torbjørn Olsen went from being odds on to going out to 16-1 within the space of three holes, because he went bogey par, and it looked as if he was done. Ramsey looked to be in prime condition. He was heavy odds on at one point, and he dunked the ball in the water on 18 and ended up making double. And then if you're going to win a golf tournament, how about you do it the way Torbjørn Olsen did? He eagles the par 5 17th after hitting a unreal approach shot in there from 200 something yards, and then makes a monster putt on 18 when he knows, if I make this putt, I win the golf tournament. Then he just goes and nails it from about 50 feet. Disappointed, actually, because I had Torbjørn the week before, so I was a week late on him. I gave up, didn't keep the fade in him, which is always a mistake. But yeah, good player, great ball striker. I think it was only a matter of time before he won, but unlucky for me, I managed to miss it.
I think that was nearly 2 weeks in a row in the European Tour that he went to a playoff, but obviously he made that monster putt. So yeah, I mean, I as me and Donnie said last week, I think odds wise the value in the European Tour is so good. Like, you know, you have favorites are 18-19 to 1, so like, mm-hmm. you know, the vast majority of the players that you'd be picking are high 20s, even mid 30s to like one. So
yeah.
Look, I mean, it's definitely a interesting tour. I think we will get a winner there eventually. It is a bit sporadic though. It's not, I think it's easier to pick winners on the PGA Tour personally, but
yeah,
just because I think in the European Tour there's just, or the DP World Tour, I should say. I just think, you know, there's honestly probably 30 to 40 players could win every single tournament. And I know that you could probably say the same thing with the PGA, but I don't think it's the same. I think it's like, it's literally a lot harder to pick a winner, I think, on the DP World Tour than it is on the PGA Tour. But it's a very, very good tour to have, though. And, you know, it's nice to have both of them running.
Well, I'll tell you, bro, I'm consistent across both tours because I don't pick winners on either. So the last 8 to 10 weeks are onto the go by, but we're getting close. I can feel it. I've been saying it now for a few months at this stage, but I can feel it. The winner's coming. It's getting closer. The other thing that's coming slowly on the horizon as well is the LIV Golf Tour, the Saudi back LIV Golf Tour. We had a couple of big names putting their requests into the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour as well. So as we stand right now, there's about 80 PGA Tour pros that have requested release to play in the tour, and about 40 from the DP World Tour. So some of the bigger names confirmed are Westwood, Sergio Garcia, Richard Bland, Phil Mickelson, Martin Keimer are all putting in the requests. And there's some rumors that Ian Poulter, Louis Oosthuizen, and I'm sure a bunch of others that are over the 40-year-old age mark are just like, you know what, my days are coming to the end. Let's cash in while we can. So it'll be interesting, because the thing with the LIV Golf series is that the field is set at 48 players. So there's going to be a bunch of guys who do put their name in the hat, but won't get picked. I assume it'll be based off popularity or marketability or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. Interesting to see how it plays out. It's starting to take momentum, and we saw Sergio's outburst over the weekend as well, saying he can't wait not to have to deal with the PGA Tour anymore, and in a couple of weeks he won't have to deal with them again. And it's getting real now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, even the 48, I don't know, it'd be interesting if you had 40 and then had a Monday qualifier top 8 get in. But I don't want to advertise for it. So look, it is what it is. I look, at the end of the day, I get it. I said it with Donnie, like, my own opinion is, I think if you've made the amount of money that Lee Westwood and stuff have and you're doing this, I think you can go fuck off, to be perfectly honest with you. But you know, I don't blame the older players who might not have that much money or looking out for their kids and stuff. And but, like, you know, the likes of Phil and Westwood and stuff, I just,
yeah, well, you saw with Philly, gamble away 50 million apparently.
he's to get it back eventually. But
yeah, look, friend of the pod, Phil Mickelson, let's add friend.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, at the end of the day, look, as we've said before, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and be like, oh, your money fucking hungry. Because if the LIV Tour rang us and said, you want to be the official podcast, it'd be add a few more zeros and we're there, you know. So
absolutely.
So yeah, but
where do I sign, Greggy?
that's it. But yeah, so this week, again, moving on, I suppose. Or is there any other topics you want to talk about before we move on?
I think that's it, bro.
That's it. Okay, cool. So
anyone have their period this month, bro?
Hey, we won't even go down there. We won't even start that.
Yeah.
But so moving on to next week. We have the Byron Nelson and we have the Sodal Open. Is that how you say it?
Oof, you're pushing me here. We'll go with that.
Yeah, okay. So apologies if that's not the way you pronounce it. It's in Belgium, I believe. So
it is.
So I do apologize if that's not the way you pronounce it. But anyway.
Antwerp in Belgium.
Okay. So I suppose, look, we'll start with the the big boy, the Byron Nelson, and then we can go to the DPR after that.
I think if you get John Rahm in the final group on Sunday, I think he stands on next and he's going to get it done.
Because the winner this week is going to be my one and done pick. I put it on Twitter. Put my cards down on the line. I'm going for Rory McIlroy.
I'm hopping aboard the Billy Ho train. He's 28, so I think you can get him.
Straight off the bat, not even going to waste time. Paul Casey and Sam Burns, previous winners, both over 22-1. I think that's an absolute value bet there. My third pick is Hideki Matsuyama. I got him at 18s this morning.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, look, before we get into the tournament itself, how about we talk about the great man, Byron Nelson, who the tournament is named after, just in case some of our listeners out there aren't as familiar with the guy as they should be. So Byron Nelson, 52-time winner on the PGA Tour. He was a guy that played back in the era of Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, and probably not too far away from the great Jimmy Bruin, I'd say, as well.
Yeah, I would say, actually, I think it's around the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was born like 1915 or something like that.
Yeah.
So some crazy stats on Byron Nelson. So as a 52-time winner, he retired at the age of 34.
Jesus.
To be a rancher. Because he's a Texan, so that's obviously why the event is in Texas. The huge stat about him is that he won 11 consecutive tournaments in 1945, and he won 18 total tournaments in the year 1945. So, a good year for a boy, Byron Nelson. He became the first. The big stat about him: he became the first player to have a PGA Tour event named after him. So obviously we have the Arnold Palmer and we have a couple of others as well. But there's a little fact.
Yeah, nice. That's sick. And to be fair, like if you compare, you know, one of the most winningest players right now, McIlroy has what, 34 PGAs, is it? Or is that just career wins in general? It's 34, is it?
Yeah, you put me on the spot here. Yeah.
No, it's fine. No, I'm just saying just to give an example of like, you know, him having 52 is absolutely insane. Now saying that, for anyone who thinks that could be a bit of spoof, back then there was probably only about 30, maybe 50 pros max, like in the world. Like to be a pro golfer, it took a lot of money. There was a very little amount. So that's why you have a lot more players winning a shit ton of tournaments versus nowadays. But yeah, insane.
Yeah, possibly. I think the year he won all those tournaments was when World War II finished as well. So possibly.
Oh.
Possibly there was a decimated field due to lack of bodies.
I wonder why he wasn't picked to go to war. Probably he got cut off because of his caliber of golfer, I guess. Maybe.
Good of a golfer, possibly, yeah. Anyway, so the 2022 version takes place at TPC Craig Ranch in Texas. So the event took place at this course in 2021 and obviously this year as well. So this is the second year that it's taken place at TPC Craig Ranch. It's a 7,438 yard par 72, Tom Weiskopf design. It is Bermuda grass greens, pretty wide open fairways. It's not a course that requires any form of accuracy at all, to be honest. So look out for guys that hit the ball a long way, good on their approach game, and obviously good with the flat stick on Bermuda greens as well. Bent grass greens is what it is, not Bermuda, excuse me. Last year, 2021, KH Lee won this event at 25 under par, seeing off Sam Burns by 3 strokes. An interesting stat about this, so over the last 8 years, 3 of the winners have been Korean, which is our South Korean, to be specific, excuse me.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we had KH Lee, Song Kang won it in 2019, and somebody else that slips my mind won it in 2013 as well. So maybe something to take a look at if there's any promising South Koreans in the field. But the field pretty good. We have Scottie Scheffler headline in the field at 10-1.
Yeah.
We then have, let me just pull up my odds list here. Unless you have it in front of you there.
I'm literally getting up as we speak. We have Scottie Scheffler at 10-1. We have Justin Thomas at 14s. We have Sam Burns at 20-1, Xander Schauffele at 20-1, DJ at 22, Jordan Spieth at 22, Willie Z at 22. How is Willie Z and DJ the same price? Mother of God. Joaquin Neiman then is 30-1, Brooks is 30-1, Matsuyama 30-1, and then you have the likes of Fleetwood, Jason Colcrack, and Cameron Champ kind of rounding up the top kind of 20.
Yes, it's a good field overall. We do have the PGA Championship next week, as I mentioned earlier on. So I think it's hard to know how focused people are going to be here. Is it a case where you play here to get your game a little bit in check for next week? But we do have a lot of Texans in the field. I think that will want to win on home soil no more so than one Jordan Spieth. So, yeah, it's an interesting event, a good field. And let's throw it over to you, Brute, to see who you got.
Yeah, so I guess firstly, I just want to say, as much as I love my boy, Scotty Scheffler, just this week for me just doesn't make sense. As you said, I think he'll play well. Do I think he'll win? I don't know. And look, don't get me wrong, he could easily go out and win this and then show up again next week. But I think this is more of a tune-up tournament for him. See how he's playing at 10-1. I can get involved next week at around those prices, but not for the Byron Nelson, to be perfectly honest with you. My first pick is the runner-up from last year, Sam Burns. I got him at 22-1 this morning. I think Sam Burns is an interesting one. He obviously was absolutely on fire there earlier on in the season. It seems to be a bit more quiet this, you know, the last maybe month or so, but I think this is a good tournament for Sam Burns to kind of show himself. I could see him coming on to win this and then doing well again next week at the PGA. My next one, this pick kind of frustrated myself after I made it. I saw Matsuyama at 30-1 and I couldn't get away from it, but I know he's been kind of plagued with some injuries. I think he pulled out of the Masters, wasn't it, because of his back?
Neck. Matsuyama, we call him.
Necky, that was it. So, but I would hope that, you know, it's been over a month now since it, you know, the top physios, top, you know, people with him, I assume he's going to be back in form. And I think, again, at 30-1, it's a huge price. And my last pick, again, I just saw 30-1, couldn't get away with it. Brooks Koepka, like, he's just a player that when he really, truly turns it on, he absolutely blitzes fields. And I think Sam Burns, Matsuyama, or Brooks, I think one of those three is going to be your winner this week.
Mm. Bold statement, bro. But I find this one very, very tough to it. Yeah. Normally, I have a lot of confidence and misplaced confidence as the results will show. But I really fancy somebody, or I think this guy's nailed on to win. I find it tough this week. I think the scoring is going to be so low, the course is so open and suits so many different types of players that I find it difficult to pin down just one or two. I've got Scotty Scheffler wrong every single time that he's been at the top of the board. I've said he's not going to win. He doesn't have the game to win. He doesn't have X, Y, and Z, and he's won every time I said that he wouldn't. So I'm going to shut my mouth on Scotty Scheffler. I'm not going to get involved on him or in him at 10-1. Justin Thomas is tempting. He could show up and win. Sam Burns is a really interesting one, right? If you look at his results, he went on the start of the season, so the back part of last year, he had like four or five top tens in a row and then went on to miss three cuts and then went back on another streak, which he won. He won the Valspar and then missed another cut at the Masters. So he's it really depends, I think, what side of the bed that Sam Burns is up on, because obviously he has the course form in the book, which not many do. But yeah, I just think it's a really tough one. DJ is back in a good bit of form as well. He could show up and do something. When you said 30-1, I thought you were going to talk about Joaquin Neiman, because this could be a track that this is a guy that tore up the Genesis Invitational.
Yeah.
One of the tougher tracks, and shot 14, 15 under at that event, which probably equates to 25, 26 under at this
rest. Yeah.
That'll be your winning score. Yeah. So I don't know, really, really tough. So I decided to stay away from the top of the market. If I had to pick one, I'd probably take Jordan Spieth, just because it's Texas and because he's but he's 150 ranked in the putting stats right now. So if he can have an above average putting week, he did win recently as well, which is just, it's mind blowing. So sometimes you have to take stats with a pinch of salt. But yeah, really tough one. I'd say keep the stakes small again. We got a big event coming up next week, the PGA Championship. Save the pennies for that one. So yeah, I settled on two picks in the end. So my biggest fancy of the week was Alex Noren.
Okay.
60-1 I got him at. So the big Swede, he's having a consistent enough season on the PGA Tour. He has played here already. So he played here last year. He was 20th at the event last year. So he was right in contention after the first 2 days, but he finished 70-74 to close out the weekend. So one under, three over to finish it out. At the time, I mean, the winning score was 20-25 under par. So if you're not shooting 4 or 5 under each round, you're losing strokes to the field. So I think with the course knowledge and with his game the way it is, he's an unbelievable putter, especially on these type of greens. He's had a good few weeks off as well after the team event in Zurich. So he's had the best part of two and a half weeks off. So I think he'll be back ready to go. In terms of results this year, he's come 6th in Phoenix. He's come 5th at the Honda. He's come 26th at the Players. And he's been 12th at the Valspar as well. So some pretty good results without anything too spectacular. He's 11 titles, won worldwide, but still hasn't won one on the PGA Tour yet. But I just think with as good of a putter that he is, as well as having the course knowledge, course form in the book, I think Alex Noren could be a nice sneaky bit of value at 60-1.
Yep.
So that's pick number one. Pick number two and final pick is one Adam Scott at 50-1. So Adam Scott, the big draw for Adam Scott, so there's multiple, to be honest. So he hasn't played that much this season. So he's played 10 times on tour this year, and he has 3 top 10 finishes in those 10 starts. So when he does turn up, he's generally tuned in, generally ready to go. Adam Scott, one of the best swings in the game, one of the best ball strikers around. The real surprising thing when digging a bit deeper is just how good his putting stats have been. So he's actually 16th on tour in terms of strokes gained putting across the season this year. And he was pretty high up in the rankings for the whole season last year as well. So I think it's the narrative around Scott is that he just can't make the putts that he needs to, but stats would say that's not true. So I think Scott as well in Texas, he has a really good record. So he has 14 PGA Tour wins, 4 of them have come in Texas. And he's had a break since the Masters as well. So he's had the best part of 4 weeks off to recuperate, sort out any swing issues, any whatever has been holding him back over the last couple of months. And I think Adam Scott will be ready to go and back on Texas soil again. I wouldn't be surprised to see him land the blow at 50-1 this week. So two picks, small stakes, Alex Noren, 60-1, Adam Scott, 50-1.
Yeah, I actually really like them. I see Alex Noren has actually come way in since earlier this morning. He's currently 45-1 on Waybook.
I see
Adam Scott has also gone into 40s. So,
Shop around.
Exactly. Yeah, very, very important. Yeah.
Another thing to mention quickly, Brew, we have a friend of the podcast, John Murphy, is teeing it up this week at the Byron Nelson. He is 1,000-1. So I don't know, maybe 50 cent each way on him just in case John can pull off something spectacular. But yeah, overall, good event. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll get a winner out of those.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. As you said, I think this week is very difficult. It's hard to know how much motivation the golfers will have this week versus, you know, are they really kind of already looking into next week? But as you said, keep the stakes small and, you know, shop around for the best price. Okay, so moving on, I guess we have the other tournament then that's on in Belgium. Mm-hmm. The Soudal. Again,
let's go with Soudal.
Soudal, okay.
So the Soudal Open is in the Rincven International Golf Club in Antwerp in Belgium.
Okay.
So it's a shorter course. So it is, let me just pull it up here for you now, Brew. It's a 6,924-yard par 71.
Okay.
I'll be completely honest. I don't know anything about this course. I believe it's the first time it's been used on the European Tour, DP World Tour circuit in a long, long time. So I do see that Guido Migliozzi won an event here in 2019, which I believe was probably on the Challenge Tour, and Adrian Ottaegi, however you pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
He also won here back in 2018, which I'm assuming looks like it was on the European Tour. So yeah, maybe a little bit of course form, but nothing too much to go off. I don't personally have any picks for it. I haven't had a chance to dig down as deep into it as I would like, but yep. You have a couple of tips for the listeners, Brew, do you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, looking at the at the kind of betting table, as we said, the one, I guess, differing thing from the PGA to the DP World Tour, you get a bit more value, as you said, yeah. Like burnt Weisberger 16-1. So As much as I want to go with Moronk for the third week in a row, he just did me so dirty last week. I can't get to backing him, but that probably means he will win. So yep. Listeners, if you're looking for someone to back, Moronk is probably your man. However, I didn't go for him personally. I went with Ryan Fox, who started last week's tournament absolutely on fire. He came out of the gates swinging. Now, unfortunately, he kind of fell back a bit, couldn't really, get a kind of foothold on his second or like third round. But I think Ryan Fox is someone who's going to win very, very soon on the DP World Tour. He's 20-1. And I think he's, again, like at 20-1 is still a good price for someone. So I do think he's going to win very soon. And I think this kind of tournament would like suit him. Next, there's a good few, to be fair. You know, I'm looking at the field, and Oliver Becker is a player who's played well lately. Thomas Peters, I think, is someone who could like do well here. But I went with Victor Perez. He's again being played. He played quite well the last few weekends. He's been a bit unlucky not to like get a bit higher, but I got him at 33-1. He's now moved into 28-1. I think, you know, there's definitely two or three players around those two prices that, you know, are definitely worth a like punt, but those were the two I settled on.
Interesting. Yeah, it's worth noting as well. You have two local boys in the fields, Thomas Peters and Thomas Detry.
Yes.
Right at the top of the market. I'd love to throw a name out as a punt, but I just don't have any fancies. I'll do some research later on and throw something up
on your Twitter.
Darts on Twitter.
Perfect.
The confidence is not an all-time high European Tour, DP World Tour betting. But look, you only need one winner, Brew, to turn the season around for you. So
that's it. That's it. So everyone, look, thanks for listening. There are tips for the week. We will be back, for next weekend. As we said, there's big tournament coming next week. So we'll have, again, probably we'll go for a multiple podcast again, like we did kind of similar for the Masters. Please give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, give us a quick message on those. You know, we're Finders Fairways on Twitter, we're Fairway Finders podcast on Instagram. And just big thank you again to everyone for listening.
Beautiful. Pleasure, right. Brew.
Yeah, no water, lad. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.
Just take a moment to admire the fact that I just hit a fairway.
There's only two things that can happen. You can hit a good shot or a bad shot. So why waste time doing it?
And wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at.
Right at it! Home!
Jordan
He's
Spieth!
Done it again!
This is the dumbest hole I've ever played in my life.
Come on then, Shane. Knock it close. Shane Lowry is the Open champion.